So I'm now joined in studio with Graham J. Norton. How are you, Graham?
I'm grand, thanks. Thanks for having me this morning. How are you?
I am good. All the better for you having you in the studio with us this morning. So you're chatting to us this morning about your journey, this long journey as a psychotherapist and intuitive energy healer. So what is an intuitive energy healer? I suppose we should start off with.
Well, an intuitive is someone who feels things, who feels vibrations and gets intuitive hits. So the old term people would have used would be a psychic. Now we don't use that anymore because it conjures the old gypsy fortune teller with the shawl. And as much as I do love a caftan, you know, I can't go out in public. Well, I could, but you know, I'd be lynched. But the idea is, it's we're moving away from those old stereotypes,
because
science is now proving that there are such things as psychics and who have ability. But actually, we all have these abilities inside us, and some of us are just a bit more sensitive because we've allowed these things to develop. So, for example, I make most of my living nowadays as a tarot reader and medium. But we all have this inside of us, and it's just a little bit more developed because part of it's self-belief. You're keep looking at the text there. I'm sure there's all people going, burn him, he's a witch. But that's part of why we don't use the word psychic anymore. But, there's whole fields of science. So, as you know, I'm a recovering diva. So I used to be a singer, as you know, and then COVID happened for me. But I had wanted to retire because I was getting to 40 and I was kind of like living out a suitcase and thinking, Jesus, I can't do this anymore. But now, full disclosure, everybody, Paula and I know each other a very, very long time. Yeah, since we were young and innocent and beautiful back in the day. And so that is full disclosure. So Paula knew me in those days.
In his previous guys.
In my previous life, yeah. I'm the queen of reinvention here. But anyway, so we moved on, and I was sitting, you know, like Paula will know this, that I was always doing Reiki and healings and running off to this thing for tarot and everything else. So it's in my family for a long, long time. And I never thought that I could make a living. And suddenly I was thinking, what am I going to do with my life? You know, I don't want to sing anymore. So actually COVID really happened at the right time for me. So I'm one of those people. I know everybody's kind of, really? Really? And I'm like, yeah, I really am. So it was actually kind of good for me because it got me to be still and think for a while. So I was sitting there one day thinking, what am I going to do with my life? You know, blah, 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 blah. So I had this mad notion that I was going to go back. I'm very good at talking to people and become a psychotherapist. So I'm currently finishing a master's. Now I'm going off to do a PhD. I'm specialising in what's called transpersonal psychotherapy, which is all the psychology of the soul. But we'll get to that in a minute. So I decided halfway through my dissertation for my master's, I said, well, God, what are you going to write about? And I was like, I could do trauma and the voice, but sure, that's done to death. And then I decided, oh, do you know what? Why don't I come up with this idea of doing a study into Jungian archetypes and the tarot? And that's really interesting. So then the next thing, my whole world just exploded. So I ended up working with a psychic called Richard Knight, who was like, oh my God, you're amazing. And he's even given me video testimonial, and that connected me to other big names in the industry. And suddenly everything has just snowballed. And I now have students from all over the world coming and having tarot lessons and all mad things. And I'm still building this into my psychotherapy. So I want to specialise in what's called transpersonal psychotherapy, which everybody goes, well, what's that? You know, because everybody, you know, transpersonal. So it actually means outside of the self. So
right,
you're helping
right.
people find their best possible way, version of themselves. You're empowering people to find their options within inside themselves. So you're basically allowing them to set themselves free of what's been holding
so
them back.
So a bit of a life coach aspect?
Yeah, sort of, yeah. I mean, it's more about like, you accept the person. It's a bit more like, I'm not a person-centered therapist. Like, I started with that. But like, the idea of me then going, ah, dear, and holding your hand forever, it's just not going to work. Now, I do, obviously, because, everybody's in trauma. But like, I need people to kind of like, we need to get to the end game, people, you know. So transpersonal is about, you look at the person as an individual. There's nothing wrong with them, but you get them to acknowledge what's happened to them as being outside of their control. But you help them to take back control of themselves by helping them find belief in themselves through acknowledging where they've come from and where they could possibly go. Much like when I read the tarot. So I don't tell the future. What I do is I help you look at the potentiality of a situation, because, you know, obviously if you're going to make the wrong choices, that's not going to work for you.
No.
You know, so that's, tarot reading isn't, you know, I'm not here going, cross my palm with 40 silvers, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's not how I do it, you know. And the same with the healing. So energy healing.
Yeah.
For example, so it all ties in. The energy healing is about, you know, disturbances in the auric field. So it has been proven by science that we all have a morphogenic field around us, you know, and you can actually feel, you know, measure like the aura of the body through the heart and stuff. It's really interesting. So there's a guy called David Hamilton, Dr. David Hamilton, who does all this research. And there's lots of books on it. It's really, really interesting. So now they've proven that Reiki works, you know, and hospitals are now incorporating it into programs in the States and stuff. And actually, because there's so much of a move away from the old fortune teller to try and make things more legitimate, certain college courses are going to be coming online to try and develop this. So in America you can do degrees in Reiki, or you will be able to.
I'm not quite sure
if it's happened yet. And then, you know, the research I'm doing at the moment in college is about the potential of the psychic medium to harm or hinder the therapeutic process. But a lot of us, like myself, are going back to college and learning these skills so that then we can kind of incorporate them into a proper therapeutic setting to help people to move past difficulties that they're having in their lives.
So, I mean, what sort of people come to you for help?
God.
Is it can literally be anybody and everybody?
It can literally be anybody and everybody. I have people from the top ends of business.
Mm-hmm.
Like huge CEOs come to me for readings, you know, to see where business deals are going. And then I have people come to me for spiritual coaching, which slightly differs from life coaching in the fact that I look at where they are, where they're going, and to try and help them find their problems. But yeah, so, and then of course I could just have, you know, ordinary people. I've had some funny instances, like where I had a man in with me one day and I was reading for him and I kept getting this image of a golden retriever. Now, I had just spoken to his mother. His mother's spirit came through and was giving me all these messages. But I was being hounded by this image of a golden retriever. And I said to him, I said, I don't know what this means, but I keep getting this flash of a golden retriever. And he burst into tears. And he kept saying to me, oh, that's my dog. I had to put her to sleep on Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
So I said, well, okay, well, you know, is she okay? Yeah, she's, well, you know, she's on the other side. Like, you know, she's all good. Like, you know, and he said, so then the whole conversation switched. Forget about mammy. It was all about the golden retriever. But you see, that's the definition of true love, isn't it? So it was a bit of crack, like. But so I get a lot of stuff like that. And a lot of people then come to me for advice. I have some very serious people. I have a lady in London who's a very, very important barrister, and she tries huge criminal cases, and she comes to me for spiritual coaching.
Wow.
And I've a lot of CEOs from the US and things like that come. So it's a very interesting journey. And then my work as a psychotherapist. Obviously I keep the two slightly separate, not very separate. I work with young people who would be what we would call early school leavers.
Right.
So this has kind of given me a very thorough grounding in how to handle people. So these kids, a lot of them come from really, really difficult backgrounds. I mean, some of the stories are horrendous. And what I do is I do traditional psychotherapy with them, mixed with this transpersonal, to try and help them find their way and help them find paths to the future, because a lot of them they're what we would call early school leavers and would have left school, say, 16 years of age, many of whom haven't got junior certs. And so we're trying to help them kind of get
sort
on
of find
in life.
A direction.
They do qualifications and stuff with us, and then they go out into the world, hopefully. Some of them go to college, you know, and do other things. So that's the service that we provide. So that can be very challenging, because these kids, like, they have had rough starts in life. And then I work in another clinic with other people who come to me with regular issues, you know. So it's my life is very full spectrum.
You know, so an absolute understatement. I mean, you're in the final months of this master's degree in psychotherapy and counselling. I mean, it's been a long journey.
Yes, Paula has heard me bemoan my fate of writing many, many essays into the small hours of the morning. And
that's the thing, you don't expect that there's that much
of,
you know, you think it's all very kind of talk based, you're literally just talking to people. But the whole academic side of things,
God, yeah,
you don't realise how big the the academic side of the whole psychotherapist thing is.
Oh yeah, there's so much. I mean, because there's so many theories about how the mind works that you really do have to have a very good grasp of
yeah, the whole
that,
Jung
like the facts and
Freud. And
oh god,
you know,
yeah. Well, I'm very Jungian.
Okay.
You know, I don't blame my mother for anything. Well, not too much. I'm more about Jung, and you know, because he was very into spirituality. I suppose technically he would have been the first transpersonal psychotherapist, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But and imagery, and you know, he talks about imagery a lot in his work, and hence my work that I do. I'm writing a book on the tarot and the archetypes of it, and it's very much a lot of it comes from Jung, because I'm writing this new psychotherapy theory that I have, that the tarot could be used in a therapeutic session, because say if you were to come to me for a reading, I'd put out the cards and you don't have any associations with the imagery, but we can talk through them. And of course, because we're teleological creatures, we want to put meaning on things. So back in the old day, when we were cave people, we all spoke in imagery, so we drew them on the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I say to you, well, what does this mean to you, you will have some association with that. So then because you've no emotional attachment to
right.
it, we can then talk about what's going on in the card and see what feelings that brings up for you,
and it would mean something totally different
exactly,
to somebody else.
Exactly. So it unburdens people from having to kind of preconceived notions about what they need to say. So
yeah.
Yes,
yeah. I mean,
theory.
That's the thing, you know, you see all that, like, you know, when you think of tarot, you think like the death card, the hanged man and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, oh, my God, this is really, really bad. But it's not, isn't it?
No,
there's a totally different side to
death
it.
Death doesn't
know.
Mean
it's not all fair
literal.
Ground.
No, I mean, death doesn't. I mean, I still have a full set of teeth just a bit. So I've no gold just yet. I can't afford it with these prices. Anyway, the death card doesn't actually mean literal death. It actually means the opportunity to change.
Mm.
Because after all, you know, death is a new beginning. You know, that's the idea anyway. And the hanged man is just about looking at your problems from a different angle. So again, if you throw that all in, it makes a lot of sense for people, you know, and helps them to think about, okay, well, yeah, you can say, you don't lead the witness, obviously, because you have to let them come up with their own things. But yeah, exactly. It's exactly that. It's what I'm trying to do is take the woo-woo out of things, because, you know, as I said, we're all born with these abilities. It's how we choose to develop them.
Mm.
And I think because we have like the Institute of Noetic Sciences in America, which is kind of doing a lot of research into this. And like, I'm hoping to go on and do my master's with the Aleph Trust, or certainly my master's, my PhD with the Aleph Trust, who run their PhD program through John Moores University in Liverpool. Everything is scientifically based. And you get, for that program in particular, you get two supervisors. So one who looks after your academic stuff, who'll bore you to death with all that, and then you get one for the fun stuff, you know. So I shouldn't say that, I shouldn't be so flippant. I mean, I know I have to learn all the theories, but you know, sometimes it's like, oh god, do I really need to know what John Norcross thinks about something else?
Yeah,
you know.
No, there's just so much more to it, isn't it, than sort of the lay person knows.
Yeah, I mean, everybody thinks a psychotherapist just sits there and goes,
don't do that.
No.
Yeah, kind of like.
And there's many different types of psychotherapy as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's person centred, there's CBT, which is a bit more directional. There's, I said, the transpersonal, which I'm into, which is a combination of everything. I would be what would be called an integrative psychotherapist. So, therefore, I've learned a lot of different modalities, and I combine them depending on what the client presents with. I mean, I have, as I said, it's a wide range of different people presenting with different issues, and so you go at what's in front of you, and you try and help them as best you can, you know. So it's been an interesting road, but then it does prepare me, because you've got all walks of life, and then you have, as I said, because I'm very into the spiritual side of things, I want to set people free. Now, spirituality is not religion.
Yeah,
just let's get that out there. It's about your own set of beliefs and whatever they may be, you know.
Yeah, so. I mean, so people that come to you, how much do you know about them before?
Nothing.
Is it literally they're a blank slate?
Absolutely nothing. For tarot readings, or mediumship, whatever happens when they come to the session. I prefer not to know, because now, having said that, when they first initially come in, but as the thing gets better, so I would start with, say, a Celtic cross and see what's going on for
them. Yeah.
And then they can ask specific questions, because the more you are willing to look at an area, we can go into.
Yeah.
But I usually know absolutely nothing about a client before they arrive in front of me.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there's different things, you know. Say you're doing it over Zoom or you're doing it over the phone, then you're totally in the dark as to what this person looks like, mm-hmm. you know, their background or anything like that. And, yeah. you know, we all judge, you know, whether it's conscious or not, we judge people as soon as we see them. You make a judgment of somebody.
Yeah,
you know, as soon as they're in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. So again, it's that intuitive thing. I mean, after all, intuition means into me, I see. So the way I would describe it, if somebody asks me, now if they were talking on a spiritual level, if somebody asks me how I read, what I say is I'm having an intimate conversation with your soul.
Right, okay.
I'm being given the privilege of that. So all I'm doing is accessing stuff that you know deep down in yourself, because after all, you choose the cards and I'm just reading them back to you. So all I am is like a fancy iPhone. I'm downloading I'm downloading the information and I'm giving it back to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's all I am. It's not like, you know, I don't go around with, you know, this wonderful thing like God has gifted me with this special ability, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm basically Vodafone.
Other phone networks are available.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So, I mean, there's all these different aspects. Mm. So many different aspects to what you do. Do you have a you know, I hate to ask questions like this, but do you have a favourite aspect of what you do?
I love the tarot. Mm-hmm. But I also work a lot with angelic healing, and I run a course on angelic tarot reading and angelic oracle cards, and so I teach that. So my favorite thing is to do a lot of spiritual guidance through the tarot, and I love to help people transform.
Mm.
So that's the thing I'm most proud of. Like I'm doing a 4-day retreat later on this year in September. People are coming from all over the world for it. It's my first one, so I'm slightly nervous, but I'm doing this thing where I use neuro levels from NLP with psychotherapy and the tarot to sort of talk them through this system. It's very powerful and it transforms them. It helps them stop limiting beliefs and move on. So and then they realize that all the gifts that they need to move forward in life are already inside themselves. It's really powerful, and people get very emotional when I deal with them. So that's kind of what I like. I mean, I do like the mediumship, like,
yeah,
because again, some of the stuff that comes through to me and I'm like, you really want me to say that? Really? Like, really, really? Okay, fair enough. That can be kind of fun. Now, I would never say anything that would upset anybody, because,
yeah.
And I always tell people when they come to me, it's like, look, it's your choice to take away whatever I say. There's always a disclaimer there.
Interpret you know, it as you will.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But also, to be perfectly honest, any medium or psychic worth their salt will have gone through an accreditation process. Like, I'm registered with the SWA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As you know, and what that means is that we're then able to go and get insurance, because there is a drive towards getting legitimacy for this work. Hence, you see so many of us going back into college to get these qualifications, because we want to be taken seriously.
Mm.
And like, it's back in the old, like, if we live back in times, I mean, people like us would have always been around, you know, and people would have gone to you in the village, the healer, the local herbalist, whatever, you know, for guidance and help, the local wise person, and the tribe would have looked after us. But, you know, we've come into this peculiar place in life where, you know, the head rules the heart, which is actually wrong, because the heart was created first. So that is supposed to rule the head. And, you know, and that's we need to rebalance that, you know. So yeah, so it's a very interesting place I'm in at the moment with life. And as I said, some of the stories that I get are quite harrowing. People come to me with lots of really deep problems. My biggest thing is I would never send anybody away feeling worse than they came to me, because I need to give them hope. That's what I do. I try to help them move forward in life.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a lot of responsibility, isn't there, really, with what you do? You know, when you think about it, giving advice and things, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I would never advise somebody on medical issues or legal stuff, because I'm not a doctor, and
exactly,
I'm also not
exactly.
I'm not a lawyer or an accountant. So you go and you see those people. I'm here to help you look at your problems and help you find a way through them that best matches what's going on for you and your circumstances.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I intuit what's where you are and help you find a way forward. So it is responsibility, and that's why, again, a lot of the work that I'm doing, particularly through my courses, is that, you know, it's to try and stop all the charlatanism, because they do give us a bad name.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you definitely hear all these stories that people are like poo-pooing you know, even psychotherapy, it's, yeah, you're kind of like, oh, it's all a load of old rubbish. You know, why are you even bothering? Just...
But you see, that's it. You see, psychotherapy is itself, if it's been around for, what, 100 years now?
Mm-hmm.
And it's still fighting for its own sort of legitimacy. But actually, it's been around for a lot longer.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
just we called it something different. I mean, I remember having an epiphany one day in a lecture because I was bored, going, this is just talking common sense. I didn't say that. They'll take my license off me. But yeah, you know what I mean? It is, and that's why I think there is so much academic rigor to prove that it is a legitimate thing. I mean, we have to. I remember my very first day in college, we had to do the Hippocratic Oath. That was, you know, first do no harm.
Wow.
And we had to take that. Oh yeah, because it, I mean, although we're not doctors,
it's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
As I said, it's,
yeah, and you have to make sure that people are looked after, and it can be a very daunting task, because it is a responsible job, and that's why I don't let people, you know, go away from me or distressed or anything. And I have, when people come to a reading, I will have, if something comes up, because it has done, and you have to have support networks to give them so they can go off and get help, or refer them on. And people have sent people to me for help. You know, there's an amazing guy called Martin Duffy who I did some study with, who himself I thought was a psychotherapist, and he now runs a course in Dundery, and he does shamanism. And so there's quite a lot of us. This community is kind of spreading out and accessing the spiritual world through what we're doing. But again, we're all there to help people find their way forward. But we have to be careful of the charlatans and the people who will take advantage, because you can do huge damage by saying the wrong thing.
Yeah, definitely. You've only got to say one thing and it could trigger
God knows
trigger
what.
Whatever.
So that's why it's very important to make sure that you're not going to leave anybody in distress.
Right. So getting back to what we were talking about earlier. So I was just thinking, you were talking about this thing called transpersonal psychotherapy. So what exactly is that for the, you know, us people that don't really know too much?
They call it the psychology of the soul. So, okay, I'll level with you. So it grew out of, don't laugh, it grew out of the drug culture of the 1960s, right? So you had all these kind of psychotherapists trying to get in touch with themselves, kind of dropping acid and all sorts of stuff, right? So a couple of guys got together and kind of decided, oh, there's more to this, because they were seeing all these breakthroughs, you know, when they were using psychedelics. Like,
right.
They're still study going to, but they wanted to do it without... the hallucinations and the drugs and stuff, right? So this guy called Stan Grof decided to start working, and there was a whole load of them, but he's like the big name. And so he started working on what was called holotropic breath work to try and induce states of non-ordinary consciousness to kind of get people out of their problems. And they found that by helping people control their breath and everything else, they were able to start inducing these different states of thinking and stuff, like altered states of consciousness. And then science then proved that, you know, if you control your breath flow and you get people to take their, like, get basically meditation and stuff like that, you take your mind off of your problems, and using breathway you can start to create new neural pathways in the brain, which can kind of help a lot of problems, because you're taking, now this is a very layman's version of the science behind
that's
it, obviously, because we don't
want
to be talking
version.
Like, you know, but basically it can it can help correct certain neuropathic is the word, cognitive dissonances and things like that, and such build new pathways so that new electrons can be established, and, you know,
so flicking new switches in the brain,
basically, that's what I was trying to get. There we go, the layman's term. There we go. So flicking on the new switches and kind of getting people out of their bad habits and stuff. But it also helps people, because, as I said to you before, we're all trying to find meaning in our lives.
Yeah.
And note this, but religion sometimes doesn't really do that for a lot of people, but they're still looking for some inner sense of self and commitment and connection.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The transpersonal then helps them find ways within themselves to find belief systems and meanings in their life.
No, it's nice that there's so many different doors open to people. Do you know what I mean? You're not kind of saying, right, this is the path I have to go down. Let's go down this path. There's all these different doors that you can choose. Yeah.
All roads lead to Rome. Exactly, you know.
Yeah, and everybody's doors are different. Do you know what I mean?
So. Exactly. I mean, because we're all as unique as a snowflake.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean that in a positive sense, not in the sort of, like, you know, the current zeitgeist of the word snowflake.
Snowflake.
Yeah. So that kind of was really fascinating to me, because then, of course, people started to connect shamanism and old belief systems and old world religions, and particularly for us as Irish people, there's a lot of sort of Celtic belief system, like the Triskelion and all that kind of stuff that would be brought into it. So it's very, very interesting. And for me, it just seemed the right fit for everything, all the other crazy mad stuff that I'm into. And I just lit up when I discovered this. And actually, it's not often done, so hence I'm having to go to the UK to the Aleph Trust, because there's not much about it here in Ireland. There's no specific courses. So to do training, further training, I have to go abroad, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, that's just the way it is anyway, you know. But yeah, so it's led me to sort of a whole little community of interesting people. And then the US, it's massive. Absolutely massive.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And of course, they're much more open to things than we are. So, for example, back to my other life, the Boo Ooey life, as I call it, and that's my podcast. No, I don't have a podcast, I'm joking, but we will call it that one day. You know, with the spiritual work, for example, you have the Institute of Noetic Sciences, who are trying to study the brainwave chemistry and things like that, and then you have the Monroe Institute and all these other things who are looking into all this psi phenomena. But you also have, for example, the US government, and this is proven. They had Project Stargate, where they were getting people like me to come in and do what's called remote viewing, for the potential of that for spying, you know, and for espionage and stuff like that. And this is all true. You can actually go and look this up. I'm not making it up. I swear to God. This is my favourite line to tell people. Is it, do you think I made that up?
And there was that film we were talking about just now, Men Who Stare at Goats.
Men Who Stare at Goats. That's based on all this stuff. And so, you know, and Uri Geller, for example, he was very involved in Project Stargate, and he actually has a certificate from the American government to sit from the FBI to actually say that he actually genuinely has psychic powers, you know. And so he's kind of in my orbit there somewhere. And
wasn't there that thing that was that thing with Elvis and Richard Nixon? I mean, is that something else that I'm thinking? I'm thinking of.
I can neither comment on that or deny it. Let's put it that way. Confirm or deny, that's the word, yes. So that's all I'm going to say.
Deniability.
It's sounding familiar in the distance somewhere. So Urien is Spoons, but he's very involved with my mentor Richard. So we're sort of in that little world together.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking about it. It was something to do. He wanted to be like an FBI. Elvis wanted to get involved in
the FBI
in more stuff with Richard Nixon. It's just another day's work.
Yes, that's
entirely
the second movie, I think.
So I mean, what's next for you? I mean, going forward, what's the plan?
Well, going forward, I'm going to finish this master's, please, thank God. Then I'm not going to write an essay for at least 6 months. and then the PhD is on the horizon, but I've 4 years to write that essay, so I'm all good. But I'm writing a book on the tarot, a beginner's guide, but I'm also doing this research for my next academic paper and my school, and I'm doing my first 4-day retreat in September, which is all healing. It's not specifically tarot, but it's more energy work, and it's kind of transformational coaching and stuff like that. So that's kind of where I am at the moment. I'm just trying to help legitimize the work. So God, because I'm trying to speak fast, because you know the rule about no dead air time, that's what it is. I still remember them from AL Diva days, but me kaftan.
He's not wearing a kaftan.
No, I'm not, I swear to God. I'm wearing an orange jumper, because you know my chakras. So I'm thinking so hard, I'm trying not to sprain a chakra, please stop.
How long does the master's? You know, as I said, I've never done one. I've done the degree, but I mean, how long does the master's take?
This one was it, normally it's 4 years, but this one was pretty much full time. They're done. The 4 years were done every weekend over 4 years. Ours was done every week.
Oh my God. Then
I had client work to do as part of it. I had to go into all these different things, and I had to do. In total, we'll end up doing 650 client hours to qualify. So you know, I'm in different clinics doing the work, as you know, and so it's very, very intense. And then you have to do essays about writing essays, and all sorts of things. My favourite subject, research and design, which you've heard me.
I know how much you love.
Love that subject. Research. Love it. Epistemology is my most favourite thing. I just love it. But yeah, or I have a lovely term I can't say on air.
No, don't say it.
Yeah, I won't.
No, but I mean, you do what you've got to do. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If you've got a plan, you think, oh God, I've got to wade through some stuff to get to where I want to go. You're going to do it, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? If you're that passionate about what you want to do, you're going to do it.
And that's it. And I want to be able to help people. And my school that I have, my where I'm teaching a lot of these people, is they have to do exams and to pass, and then they can get their certification that they can go and get insurance with. But that's it. I mean, it's all about making sure that people are doing the best possible for the client. And there's a lot of people who go into our work for the sake of their ego. And you cannot have that, because it's not about you at the end of the day. It's about the person sitting directly opposite you and what trauma they're experiencing in their life and how you can help them move forward. Hence, I'm into all this transformational work.
Yeah. So, I mean, if there's anybody listening in this morning going, well, this is really, really, really interesting. How do they get in contact with you?
Well, I'm all over social media.
He's over the TikToks. And
oh, yeah, I got on TikTok the other day. Like, I'm doing daily healings on TikTok. So my handle is CelticTarotTherapy.com. That's my website. But then you'll find me on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. And, you know, a 43-year-old hairy bloke on TikTok with his hands going. And I'm pulling daily tarot cards for guidance. And I do daily guidance on all of them and, you know, chuck out the cards. And then you can contact me through the office. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's kind of the world where I'm living now. You know, I'm trying to get down with the peeps. Like,
yeah,
you know,
indeed.
I don't know.
It's not an easy, you know, as I said, I've kind of been alongside Graham for this past couple of years. And the hoops and things that he's had to go through. It's not a 5-minute, like, I'm going to become a psychotherapist, you know.
No. Just no, it really isn't, no. To see this side of my face has all gone grey.
There's a serious lot of dedication involved. And, you know, you're doing good work.
Thank you.
Good work, Graham. So thanks so much for coming in and chatting with me today. It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Never
Thank
a
you,
chore,
darling.
As they say. So let's have a little bit more music now. This guy, he's from Cork. I didn't know he was from Cork. But he's doing amazing things at the moment. He's just kind of broken America, I think. He's been doing lots of stuff on the TikToks and on the social media. He's become very, very big. He's doing 2 gigs in the Academy very, very soon. Yeah. Kian Dacroix, he's from Cork. And this is a track, his new track, I'll Be Waiting.